Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
That is right. You are now talking with TD. Shout out to each of you for tuning in. Elijah, making things happen. On the ones and twos, we'll go back to the old school DJ reference. I'm excited to bring you this show today because we have a lot to get into. We have my NFL Nation ESPN Bears reporter Jeff Dickerson coming on. Of course, we're going to have to bring in Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, run TMC. We got to look at the running game, something I think the Titans really need to look at as well. We're going to start it off with some news. Well, not news, but just some responses, some feedback from some moves the Titans have made. Wow, that's all I could say.
There's a couple.
Yeah, there's a bunch, and this team was really, really busy over the last few days. So we'll start with the first move, and that was trading for Desmond King. I think that's a really good trade for them. I feel that he's an upgrade at the nickel position for them. He is primarily going to serve that role. That's what he's done his time with the Chargers. He played all over the place at Iowa last year with the Chargers, or excuse me, earlier this year with the Chargers. If you go back and watch some of his snaps, he did take some at the safety position, but the team acquired Chris Harris, and that suddenly gave them a better nickel option, and rightfully so. Desmond King was not pleased with that. I'm not going to condone his reaction, like on social media, and then some of the things that unfolded. I'm not in the building. I wasn't there for the lateness to meetings or anything like that. I can't fully say what happened or even vouch for that, but these are things that shouldn't even be approached. So I will say that. If you look at this player, though, he started out really, really good. I actually, on Whiteboard Wednesday, I looked at the Bears' defense for the first part of it, but the last 50 seconds is a breakdown on one of the plays that he made against the Seahawks in 2017. Outstanding interception. It was a 42-yard pick six, but it was a result of really good communication and just trust between King and the safety behind him. The safety picked up the route that King had over number two, right, the guy in the slot. He had kind of like a streak route, a seam route. The safety picked that up. That allowed King to jump in front of the outbreaking route because the corner on the outside was doing what? Playing off. We know that that's something that these Titans corners do a lot. Maybe it'll change once other things fall into place, but for right now, we know that's what they do, and he was able to jump underneath because the quarterback made a pre-snap read. Oh, he's playing off. We're going to check to that quick out, or we're going to go to that out, and he jumped it, pick six. I think that's the playmaking ability that they need from this nickel spot. Now, am I going to say that Desmond King is a guy that you could just put in a slot and say, I don't care who is the receiver, you're going to cover him, and we're going to win that matchup? No. I'll actually go back to 2017. It actually just popped into my mind. I love how random stuff in the library just comes out. But I remember watching the Chargers game, and it was, you could go back and watch, it was Chargers-Eagles, I want to say second quarter. It was the second quarter, and Nelson Aguilar was in the slot, and he ran a deep over route, and he beat King for a very long, I want to say it was about 47 yards. I'm going to have to go and look it up because it's going to bother me not knowing exactly what it was. But the long story short, he beat him for a big game. So, listen, you're not getting a lockdown guy, right? Like, this isn't, Darrell Revis. in the slot? No, but I think it's going to help add some versatility to this defense, and it's much needed versatility. One other thing, right here on this show, we had Amani Hooker on when he was a rookie, and I remember talking to him about Desmond King, and I asked him, you know, who was, because for me, my the guy who I saw a lot of when I watched, and I'm not talking about levels of greatness, right? I'm just saying similarities, like when I saw the Hooker play, I got a Malcolm Jenkins vibe, right? Very sound tackler, solid in coverage. That's the vibe that I got. Versatile, you can play corner, you can play DB, you know, just a DB, period. You know, he could play safety too. I told him about that, and he said, yeah, he could see that, but he said the guy that he really watched a lot of and the guy that he really pulled a lot from was Desmond King. So there are going to be some things that will be concerns as far as baggage is concerned, but one positive is that you have a guy that it's not just dropping him into a new fish tank, put it that way. There's a fish that he swam in the water with before. We'll use that analogy. So I think it's a positive. I just want to see just how quickly he could help and how much that's going to change. A lot of that is going to have to do, because Jonathan Joseph, we'll get into that. A lot of that is going to have to do with what they do with Adoree Jackson. Me personally, them not going out and getting an outside corner, whether it's Pierre Desir, whoever it may have been, them not going out and getting that player tells me that Adoree Jackson is going to be activated. That helps, because now you got a new left corner, and you got a left corner that you trust. And then you also have a guy that if you want to bump him inside to cover the T.Y. Hiltons, to cover those speedy types, you know, they have to play the Texans again, to cover Will Fuller, or more importantly, Kenny Stills, who plays some slot. You have the guy that can match speed for speed, so you're not stuck going zone. You could actually go man if you want. So that's my take on the Desmond King trade. I think it's a good deal. We'll see how it carries on for the rest of the season. At this point right now, I think that's a guy that you want to strongly consider bringing back. But again, we have to see how it all plays out, because they've made projections of what they thought was a projection into this scheme, and it didn't work. And that leads me right into the next topic. That's Vic Beasley. I think Rashawn Evans, his comment was really interesting, because he said, in essence, he said that, you know, about a player wanting to come in and be great and fit in with the scheme. And he said Vic wanted to do that, but it just didn't work out. That's a comment that you could just kind of take it for what it is.
It's up for interpretation.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of room for interpretation. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what Rashawn was trying to say, but I'll just leave that those words out there. But then you get to John Robinson. He spoke, and he felt it was necessary to speak. And I think it's right that you give him an opportunity to explain what happened with Vic Beasley. So this is what John Robinson had to say.
Yeah, Jim, I just think that, you know, not every decision that we make works out. You know, we spent a lot of time working with him, trying to get him going. And at the end of the day, we felt it was best to just for us to go a different direction and release him from the football team.
So there you have it right there. They just felt it was time to go in a different direction. Was I shocked by the move? Absolutely. Absolutely shocked by the move, because there's still something to want from the money that you paid. I respect the move, though. They really looked at it and said, hey, look, enough is enough. It's not going to cut it. Got to go. And from what I understand, there was a lot of discussion about this. A lot of discussion from what I've been told. And then when John Robinson spoke in that press conference, he said that wasn't something that was fully ongoing. But the Bengals game was the one that just made him like, you know, it's time. And sometimes you hit that breaking point. And that's where they hit. So that's the Vic Beasley situation. I would say Skipper is a guy that is probably going to be called up. Wyatt Ray, I know he's someone. Now, they didn't protect Wyatt Ray on the practice squad. He wasn't one of the four players, but Skipper was. So, you know, we'll see what happens there as far as who they call up. Derek Roberson was back at practice. He was not able to play in the game. On Saturday, he was ruled out due to an illness, so he didn't play on Sunday, but he's another guy. But the thing is, you have to wonder, how are they going to figure out him as far as fitting into that rotation? Because he's not someone, and Shane Bowen has said it before, the area where they needed Roberson to improve was on first and second downs. Third downs all day, pin your ears back, go get the quarterback. So that's something that he could do. We'll see how he's able to carry last year over to this year, but what happens on first and second down? I think that's when you got a guy, you know, like a heavy-headed dude like Wyatt Ray, like Skipner, but especially Wyatt Ray. He stood out to me in camp, and I thought he made a case to actually be on the 53-man roster. Obviously, he's not. He's on the practice squad, but those type of guys I think would be solid on first and second down, and then you bring in Roberson. But then you still have Clowney and Landry, Harold Landry. So we'll see how that works. I just want to see. There's a lot. The NASCAR package, what do they do then? Is Roberson able to put his hand in the dirt and rush the passer?
Might not have a choice.
You might not have a choice, which means that you don't use that package. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll see what happens there. There's a lot to consider. Jonathan Joseph, we touched on that. That's something they got up out of there. And then the other one that I wanted to take a look at is Bo Brinkley. I mean, you have to wonder, did the situation with COVID, and actually Robinson said that some things got a little sideways after that. So it's really unfortunate that whatever he endured or went through with the COVID situation has impacted his employment, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sitting here trying to play a violin for him. I know people across the world have been impacted. Please don't take it as me being insensitive to that. But I'm just talking about this particular situation. And now you got Overton, who's going to probably be the long snapper. It's just a lot of moves that have happened, you know, and then you tie that in with the probable future move of Adoree Jackson being activated. Man, this team has they've made it interesting. We'll put it that way.
They're making sure that you don't get bored doing your job at all. They're making sure you are putting in those hours. And with all the moves they've made, they're doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, and I don't mind it. I love talking shop. It's fun. So it's all good. But those are just some things I wanted to start off with, because I really think that this team feels that they are still in the thick of things. They're 5-2, folks. Get off the bridges. There's no need. They're 5-2. They're still in excellent position to win the division. Mm-hmm. Look, the Steelers are going to have to play the Ravens again. You guys play the Ravens. You got a game against the Colts coming up. There's opportunities to still make a move as far as being able to host a playoff game. So just let's relax. Relax.
That Aaron Rodgers clip. Yeah. R-E-L-A-X.
That's it, man. Relax. That's it. You got to just relax. And I think these moves that the Titans made are just showing, because they don't normally do. I don't think John Robinson has made a trade in the middle of a mid-year trade before.
It means they're going for
it. So they're showing that they're going for it. They're showing that they understand where they are. That's a great thing. One other thing I want you to know as far as you understanding where we are, make sure you search on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, all of those. Talking with TD, needs you to go ahead and subscribe if you're not doing that already. And go ahead and give us that 5-star rating. We'll be right back bringing my teammate Jeff Dickerson.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
As we do each week, is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I have to phone a friend. And this is a special opportunity because I haven't gotten to talk to this next guest, my teammate still. I haven't gotten to do much with my next guest because it's just not much crossover with the two teams. But it's a pleasure to bring in my ESPN NFL Nation teammate, Jeff Dickerson, covering the Chicago Bears. Jeff, what's going on, man?
Jaron, it's great to be with you, my friend. I only wish I could be in Nashville with you at the game on Sunday, one of my favorite cities to hang out in, to visit, and to cover a game in. But, yeah, you're right. It's good to have the Bears and Titans play a meaningful game and not just in the preseason, although, Jaron, the Bears are not in very good shape. 5-3 feels like 3-5 if you're a Bears fan living in Chicago. Not a lot of reasons for optimism around that team.
I tell you what, that's something that these two teams have in common, to be honest with you, because the Titans are 5-2, but after losing to the Bengals, you would think that they were 2-5. And that there's a lot of negative talk from the fans about the team, but the fact remains they are 5-2. But let's get into the Bears a little bit, because obviously Nick Foles, he's taken over as the quarterback. What has he done to kind of help this team move forward? Because it seemed like they were stuck in place with Trubisky over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they were, and I think the hope was that Foles was going to be better than what he's been. You know, he's not a bad player whatsoever. I mean, he is very smart. He will make some bad decisions. He throws some bad picks from time to time. But generally speaking, I mean, he understands the offense. He understands where the football needs to go. He's got more touch on the ball than Trubisky, a little better accuracy. But really, if you want to look at it, the Bears offensively overall are no different under Nick Foles than they were under Mitchell Trubisky. Mm. And that is bad. They are bad. Any number you look at, what they're doing, they're dead last running the football. They can't protect the quarterback. They have very few explosive plays. They're bad on third down. They're bad in the red zone. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So I think Foles is a slight improvement over Trubisky, but it hasn't been like he's walked in here and set the world on fire. I mean, the Bears, again, they are 5-3, and you got to give them some credit, but they're 5-3 because they've had a couple miraculous wins that no one thought they were going to win. And then the defense, for the most part, plays pretty solid. And Cairo Santos, who's the former Titans kicker, as you know,
how about it,
has come to Chicago and done just a fantastic job since Eddie Pinheiro went on injured reserve. So it's 5-3, but it really feels like a shaky 5-3 going into this Sunday's game.
I hear that. And watching the pass game against the Saints, you know, Darnell Mooney, you got an explosive from him, the Bears did, and that set up the Allen Robinson touchdown. We had Mooney on this show. He actually worked with Derek Mason a lot right here in Nashville. What has he done? Like, how has he stood out to you? Because I see him get open and going back and watching some of the other games, but he and Foles, they haven't quite connected.
Well, he's done a great job. I mean, it's a fifth-round pick. He walked in here to training camp, which, of course, was a different training camp for all of us. He didn't have as much time as he would have in the past as a rookie. So he walked in with a guy that had the reputation of having that great speed. I think he ran 4.38 at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, okay, this guy's going to be a good, you know, like backup slot receiver. Like he'll push Ted Ginn for some playing time in the slot. Well, Teron, he's their second best wide receiver after Allen Robinson.
Yep.
And he established himself as that Mooney pretty early on. And finally, Foles hit him for 50 yards against the Saints. Now, I'm not sure if that's so much on Foles. He had a really bad misfire to Mooney against, I think it was the Buccaneers on Thursday night, where, I mean, Mooney was open and the ball was like 10 yards overthrown. That was a Trubisky kind of throw if you've ever seen one before, but it was from Foles, unfortunately. I think the issue is the Bears' offensive line, Teron, I'm not joking. Like, you will need to really study your flip card on Sunday because they already lost James Daniels, who's their left guard. He's done with a pec injury. They just put Bobby Massey, their right tackle, on injured reserve with a knee problem. Cody Whitehair, their starting center, missed last week's game because of a calf injury. Jason Spriggs, who took over for Bobby Massey, he has COVID. He's not playing on Sunday. Jermaine Effetti, who's the right guard, is on the reserve COVID list because he had close contact with Spriggs. And Sam Mustafer, who was their starting center last week, is now injured in that Saints game. So, I mean, there's only so much that Nick Foles and these receivers can do. When there's no time to throw the football, those deep plays, as we know, down the field cannot develop. So I think that is really hindering Darnell Mooney. But whenever he's been given a chance, he's really capitalized. And he has been a great addition and a guy you can really see here to be in Chicago long term.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad you brought up the offensive line because that's where I was going next, but you already hit that. So let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. And I want to start with the safeties. And let me say this. Eddie Jackson is a guy I just absolutely love to watch. But when you look at Jackson, you look at Gibson, how have they been as far as coming up, helping and run support, and preventing teams from getting those explosive plays?
Pretty good. I mean, I think the Bears have given up a lot more explosive running plays than they have pass plays this year. And sometimes they'll miss the tackle. But, I mean, both those guys are very opportunistic. Of course, Jackson is one of the best safeties in the NFL, one of the highest paid safeties in the NFL. So he's done a really good job. And then, you know, Kyle Fuller, their corner, Teron, is having another great year. He's very tough. And they have a rookie, Jalen Johnson, on the other side that I'm sure the Titans are going to look at, throw the ball against on Sunday, but he's held up remarkably well. So it's a good secondary, you know, led by those safeties and led by Kyle Fuller. And again, I mean, the Bears have not been perfect. I mean, there was a moment last week against the Saints where the Bears seemed like they were in complete control of that game going into halftime. And then right before the half, they let New Orleans go on this long drive, and Drew Brees finds Jared Cook for a short touchdown pass with 3 seconds left on the clock. I mean, you can't really break in that situation, and the Bears did. But for the most part, they're a little more, you know, they're bend, they don't break, they're good in the red zone, they'll take the ball away, and, you know, Khalil Mack, when he's right, is a beast, and they're trying to work Robert Quinn in more. Roquan Smith's having a good year. They like Trevathan, Akeem Hicks. So, I mean, there's a lot to like on that Bears defense. I think the problem is, it's like I've covered the Bears for a long time. It's always been they've got this really good defense and this really lousy offense. And at some point, the defense just gets worn out trying to carry the offense. Sadly, it's kind of falling back into that same predictable pattern this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You mentioned Jalen Johnson. That's actually a guy that the Titans has showed interest in. So you're right. They are going to focus in on him, just what he brings to the table. And, I mean, with Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, you know, they're going to want to see how they can match up with those corners. Speaking of Corey Davis, I know you've been in Chicago for quite some time. He's a Chicago guy. Were you around when he was playing ball in Chicago?
Probably. The sad thing about Chicago, Teron, is this, is that we've got all these great players, and very few of them stay in state to go to college, which is the real bummer of it, right? You know, like I don't know about you, I love college football.
Oh, I'm with you.
And I love college sports in general. Like any, and I'm talking, I love college baseball. I mean, I'll go deep on you with any college sport, tennis, golf, you name it. Problem is, we got this great hotbed of prospects, and most of them go out of state. So you lose sight of some of these guys. And then the Bears will play someone from Chicago, and you're like, oh, hang on now. How'd this guy get out of town again? But no, I haven't. And, you know, I'm actually very interested to see the Titans play, you know, up close. And, well, now I guess we won't be up close and personal. They won't be there in the stadium this year. But to see them during a regular season game, because that was such a strong team last year and so dangerous in the postseason and got off to such a good start this year. Most people in Chicago are not giving the Bears a great chance to win. And if they do give the Bears a chance to win, it's because they say the Titans' defense isn't that great. But I would counter that, Teron, by saying the Bears' offense is horrific. So I think something's got to give on Sunday, and I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be fun.
How have the Bears done on third down? Because that's really the huge issue. The Titans are they're dead last. Hey, third downs come up, man, they're wrong as rain. On a Saturday when you want to go out and play. We'll say it that way. And it's just something that continues to happen. On third downs, teams are able to convert, whether it's third and short, third and medium, third and long. You have it. It happens. How are the Bears as far as converting third downs?
Pretty terrible. I am really racking my brain to think of any category that they're doing well in offensively, and there's really not any. So they struggle on third down. You know, they make a lot of silly mistakes. And if you watched that game against the Saints last weekend, yeah, you saw Javon Wims, you know, sucker punch the guy twice, and you know he's going to get a two-game suspension, but he's not a real big factor what they're doing offensively. But that was a real stunning lack of discipline. But also, this is a team, Teron, that will have penalties on third down, delay of games. I mean, there was a play where they came out of a timeout and had a delay of game. How do you do that? But the Bears, that offense, they found a way to do that. That's like their calling card. So until they clean up these details, it's going to be a real struggle for this team to win games. They're going to be in it. They'll be in the game on Sunday. They always are. It always comes down to the wire. But when you make just these silly mistakes and you just can't put together four consistent quarters on offense, it's hard to win a lot in this league. They got lucky. They won some games early. They shouldn't have won. But eventually that's going to even back out if they can't get the offense going. And up to this point, there's no signs that's going to happen.
And just to put some numbers or a number to what you said, you're spot on. They're 31st in the NFL with 34.8% third down conversion. So you were spot on with that. And that's what I'm talking about. See, ladies and gentlemen, that's how we do at ESPN NFL Nation. We know our teams inside out so we could answer random questions like that. Outstanding job, Jeff. I give you props for that. Before we get you out of here, I want to give you a chance to shout out your son. I know you have to get on your way to a baseball game. What's going on with that?
Well, this kid, I need like a personal assistant to handle this kid's schedule. I mean, you know, we do remote learning in Illinois, so he's home full-time for school, which is fine. However, that presents a lot of challenges as far as like my son has a lot of energy, and he loves sports, and he's a pretty good player, and he plays football, basketball, baseball year-round. So we basically have two sports going minimum during every season, and he plays like pretty high-level travel, real high-level elite travel baseball, travel basketball, and he plays pretty elite football. So, of course, we've got the standard, you know, pitching lesson this afternoon, followed by the hitting lesson, followed by basketball practice tonight. Honestly, Teron, if I was an Uber driver, I should charge him. I should keep like a running tally for when he gets older. Be like, yeah, I took you this. Cause like my whole life, I'm like a delivery man, just delivering him from like one spot to the next. But it's what he loves to do, and if he's happy, it makes life a little easier around the home front. So I'm all in favor of that.
That's great, man. I respect that. You know, as a father of four girls, you know, I know to an extent what it's like, but they're not playing a bunch of sports like your little man is. So it's great that you're there for him. I'm glad that, you know, he has a guy like you to take him where he needs to go, and he'll just have to remember that. We'll have to play this for him down the line so that way he'll remember that, hey, you know, my pops did what he had to do to get me where I am.
Yeah, he has selective memory. Like most, you know, 9 going on 10-year-olds, he only remembers what he wants to remember.
Yeah.
He's very smart. So I hope he does remember, but I know he's having a great time. And in these really trying times for all of us, the kid's got to have a little bit of interaction with the other kids, you know. So that's really important, I think, for everyone's sanity.
No doubt. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on. I'll let you go ahead and get your little guy to his lessons, and we'll touch base, man. It is unfortunate that you're not coming here because, you know, we could have went and got some hot chicken from one of the spots out here, you know, and walked the bridge, you know what I mean, checked out downtown. But life is different, but we'll make the best out of it.
We will. Hopefully this will be over sometime in the future, and we can get back on the road, and I can get back to Nashville. But we'll be talking on Sunday, I'm sure, my friend.
No doubt. Appreciate you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah, that's right. You hear the music. We don't even have to get into the run, TMs, fresh. It's all good. We let you hear it.
We got to give the listeners a part of the rap we did before we went on, man. We got to give it to them.
Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah.
I'm the king of rap. There is none higher. Sucker MC should call me sire.
To end my kingdom, we must use...
Come on, man.
You ain't no Run DMC. Remember that movie? You ain't no Temp no more. You ain't no Run DMC, man.
Well, I'll say this.
Yes.
Hopefully the offensive line and Derrick Henry
I know.
Could click better than we did just now. The Bears, I went back and looked, and it's interesting because you always just get this mindset. There's certain teams, and the Bears are one of them, where you think of their defense and they're good against the run.
Uh-huh.
They're right now middle of the pack.
Right.
They're giving up $120 per week mm-hmm. on the ground. And you look at this team, you see Khalil Mack.
Dog.
You see Roquan Smith.
Dog.
You see Eddie Jackson.
A dog.
Kyle Fuller.
Ooh.
And it's like, how are they giving up $120 per week? But it's happening.
Yeah. I mean, we got to get after it. But even though you named some good names, and you might correct me if I'm wrong, we might have a three-headed monster with this Tennessee Titans team.
Hey.
You got Henry, McNichols, and who's this joker named Foreman? Dude, he runs that thing. So I think that's a good thing. Even though the Chicago Bears is a ferocious defense, I mean, they attack. They're a swarming defense.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Henry. You got McNichols. You got Foreman that can run through somebody's lips now.
You're right. Foreman will do that. And I'm glad you mentioned the three-headed monster. And it's funny because I was scrolling through Twitter today.
Uh-huh.
And I follow Brian Westbrook. Bree West is one of my homies, man. Uh-huh. So I follow. And he posted the original three-headed monster. It was him, Deuce Staley.
Wow.
And Karell Buckholder. And those guys all just, even though Andy Reid traditionally didn't like running the football, he had no choice with those horses.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Titans need to do. Because you look at that game against the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
after that first drive went to crap, they said, you know what? We're going to go shoot a shoe, and we're just going to run the football. Yeah. And they, 10 plays, 9 of them were running plays, 75 yards, a little over 4 minutes, and they punched in the end zone, and the game could have shifted right there had the defense, you know, held up their end of the bargain. But let's get into that drive, because you mentioned Foreman, and Foreman – he was running just as hard and as well as Derrick Henry on that drive.
Man, he showed up. But you know what the cool thing about it is it keeps each guy fresh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to – we talked about this at the beginning of the year. We're like, Henry is going to run about 300 sometimes. Now it takes the load off of him with McNichols and Foreman coming in. So that's what makes this three-headed monster so special. And and I like McNichols because he'll run through your face, but also he's got a good change of pace and kind of those quick feet. Foreman's just a house.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a house. How you say house? He's just a house.
Ride him out of, eat him out of, cram bone.
Boy,
hey, man, that's what I thought of when you said a horse, man. You know what I mean?
That hurt me right there. But yeah, man. But, man, it keeps those guys fresh And you know, we haven't heard that much about McNichols. I know we heard him in preseason last year. But, man, he's doing some good things, man. I mean, he's had a change of pace. And, you know, when he played the week before against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he made some pretty good runs.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely has. So I think you're on to something, a three-headed monster. And here's the thing with me when I look at this. Obviously, all right, Ryan Tannehill, he's that guy. He's an elite quarterback, in my opinion.
Right.
But I think – at the end of the day, you have to maintain what your MO is.
Mm-hmm.
And your MO is physical football. We're getting to that time because
mm-hmm.
you know what happens late in the season.
Yep.
You got to run the football and play strong defense. And right now, in my opinion, running the football is playing strong defense because you're keeping that defense that you have that has an inability to get off the field. You're keeping them off the field a little bit longer when you put those drives together.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. You remember last year when we played, when we was headed to the playoffs, right? When we beat the Ravens, what did we do?
Ran it.
When we played the Patriots, what did we do?
Ran it.
So what do we need to do this week?
Run it.
I mean, that's exactly what it is, because what's the makeup and the identity of this Tennessee Titans team? It's run the ball first, pass second. If you look at 1999, when we was on our road to the Super Bowl, what was the identity of our team? Feed 27, feed Rodney Thomas, and then once in a while we catch the ball on the outside of the perimeter. Because I agree with you, when you start getting into playoffs and when it starts getting cold and you go to Green Bay later on down the road and it's cold and, you know, there's no hot chocolate and, you know, it's snowing and all this stuff, big 2-2 coming at you?
Yeah.
What you going to do?
Hey.
You going to step to the side and let him go.
That's right. It's like that movie, The Titanic, right? they were playing the music while that ship was going down. And that's what the guys in the secondary are going to do while Derrick Henry is getting to that second level, get ready to run by him.
Would you tackle him?
No.
If you had the one bar face mask like Theismann and he met you in the A gap, would you tackle him?
Nope, I'm tripping him. He'll fall and it'll be a 15-yard penalty, but you know what? He won't hit his head on the goalpost. So I'm tripping him.
Yeah, man. But hey, that 300 months is going to be something special.
But on the other side. On the other side, right, there's an interesting running back, and I say he's interesting because there's no riding the fence. It's either you feel this guy's a really good player or you feel that he is someone that leaves meat on the bone, and that's David Montgomery. Mm-hmm. I personally think that he has some improvement to do as a runner. I don't think that he's a natural runner, but – I wanted to get your thoughts on Montgomery and what he does for that offense as a running back.
I mean, he brings a second dimension to it. If you look at last week when they played, he was 21 for 89 against the Saints, so that's not a shabby day. I just think that we still got to focus on him because he's one of those guys that could hurt you. And if you look at with the Tennessee Titans, every time we play against a running back that we don't know about, why all of a sudden he has one of the biggest games against us? So we can't allow Montgomery to get started, because if you look at the Bears' offense, I mean, they're going to throw the ball and they're going to make those quick passes, but they need to establish the run, because if they don't establish the run, the Tennessee Titans, I don't know if they're going to do it. They may do this. They may lock up and go man-to-man on the outside. Please don't. But, you know, and not let the running backs get loose, but also the running back is going to have to go out and make some plays.
Let's shift focus to the locker room, though.
Uh-oh.
Because obviously you know the moves that happen. Bo Brinkley has been on that team forever.
Mm, yeah.
Vic Beasley, they paid him $9.5 million. Mm. You know, and they said, hey, enough is enough. Got to go.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Joseph, we saw how he played the last couple games. I get it. There were some plays that were just completely unacceptable. But I say all that to say, when you see a series of moves like that, all pretty significant, how does that hit you in the locker room?
You know, I mean, as a player, it really doesn't hit me, especially when you're talking about the secondary, right?
I'm just talking about overall. Like, yeah. You're a guy in that locker room.
Yeah,
you
mean,
see
it,
that.
It really doesn't faze me. Like, when we had guys coming in now, I just knew that I had to do my job. But can I talk about one of the guys that they brought in that I'm kind of confused about is Desmond King from Iowa?
Talk isn't about
he,
it.
Isn't he the same kind of caliber player that the one that just left?
I think there were issues, not work ethic-wise as far as like passion for the game, but maturity-wise, punctuality. That was an issue. And he kind of, I don't want to say mailed it in, but when they signed Chris Harris –
yeah.
That was pretty much it for him being a nickel. And he didn't respond to that too well.
Wow. And you know what concerns me? You know, when they signed Desmond King, this is what really concerns me. He was a healthy scratch against the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. And the reason why I say that's a problem is because you're being inactive not because you're hurt, not because they don't need you, it's because you're not playing. So what does that tell you? I don't know. You're going to have to help me on that. Why would they go get somebody that has had a healthy scratch and is not playing?
I think it's just the ability that he brings to the table. He immediately gives them an upgrade at the nickel position.
Okay.
He's a guy that they could
blitz.
He does a good job. I actually drew one of the things that he did. This was dated back to his rookie year against the Seahawks. picking off Russell Wilson. I just think he's an upgrade, and I think it was just a move that they had to do something. Yeah. Let's put it that way, because they couldn't go on like that. Now, I'm not going to put everything on Chris Jackson playing a nickel. I mean, he had some plays where he got beat, but there were other plays where just, you know, T. Higgins was just a better player on that play.
Right.
So it's going to happen. But I think really it was focusing on upgrading that nickel spot and setting it up so that way they could get Adoree back there at left corner and get Jonathan Joseph up.
Yeah, but right. But you, and I agree with you 100%, but I'm going to give you a little bit of stats. 2017, one interception. 2018, three interceptions. 2019, zero interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary needs interceptions. And I'm not saying this guy's not a great player. I really don't know him too much. I know that he can help in a return game because we need help in that.
Yeah.
But I think, and this is my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're going to maybe use him like they did Logan.
Oh, yeah,
Logan
exactly.
Wasn't a fast guy, but he's going to blitz and put pressure on the quarterback, and that's the reason why they got him. But as in cover-wise, isn't it the same thing as letting Joseph go? Because this guy from Iowa, at his pro day, he ran 4.5. He's a little older now. Don't you think he's a little slower? We need some speed guys to run with these receivers.
He's not the one that you want covering, you know, T.Y. Hilton when he moves to the slot. No way. You definitely don't want that. But I think you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. He is a guy, and I've seen, you know, people like to throw comps around, and I've seen in the past comps to Logan Ryan. Mm-hmm. So you're spot on with that. I just think getting him, it really allows them to get Joseph up out of there, and it gives them another option that they could send on those blitzes because they have to figure out ways to impact the quarterback. They're not doing it. It's not happening.
The problem is, though, I mean, we went and got Clowney, and I know Clowney's not a sack guy, but he's a disruptor. We got Beasley they just cut. We heard his name twice. He had two offsides penalties, so mm-hmm. that's not bad.
Yeah.
But then we have Landry. We have Simmons. I mean, you have a lot. Daquan. You got all these guys that can physically do it, but why aren't they physically doing it?
Yeah, Clowney's not finishing. But I think a lot of it goes to the quick passing game that they – have been subject to. I mean, you look at Roethlisberger, it was what, like just a little over two seconds before he threw the ball. The Bengals, they had done the quick passing all year, and they continued that. In addition to Joe Burrow, like morphing into Randall Cunningham, being able to get out of sacks. I mean, that in itself was – so I think it's those things. But also, they don't – the blitzing was just a lot different. You see Vaccaro coming every once in a while, but you don't see that corner coming the way it was with Logan Ryan. So that's why you mentioning King and his blitz ability, that's where it is.
Yeah, because we need to get some pressure on the quarterback. Because if we don't, man, I mean, this offensive receivers are good. Robinson and company. I mean, I'm telling you, man, you don't want it to be another day like the Cincinnati Bengals had and the Pittsburgh Steelers have, because, you know, the back end of the Tennessee Titans, man, is struggling.
If I'm the Titans and I win the toss.
Oh, I'm taking the ball.
Exactly.
Man, I'm taking the rock. What?
And you know what? I don't care where Khalif Raymond ends up with the football and that offense starts.
Yeah.
We're going shoe to shoe, and we're going to stuff the ball down your throat, and you're going to like it. And that's how it's going to work, because if I'm the Titans, I'm trying to demoralize you from the very start.
Yeah. But then now you have a defense with Khalil Mack and Smith and Nichols and Hicks, and they trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
They trying to run through your face, and something's going to got to give. But that's where the three-headed monster comes in. Because it's going to be physical the first and second quarter, but mm-hmm. you have a change of pace. Let Henry rest a little bit. Then now, man, ooh, let's go run through their face. And that's what I love about this three-headed monster, dog.
We'll see what happens. I think they really have to do that. That's a great point, the three-headed monster concept. They need to get that going because they definitely they have something in those three guys. So, man, another week, another session.
You gotta work on your rap skills, though, man. You just left me hanging.
No, I look. I try to leave it where you could pick up. You didn't pick up.
I did. I rap. You know, I got game, man. Next week, man, we got to come. You got to come with a song, man. We got to rap it like we just the Get Fresh crew.
Man, look, I tell you like this. Let us begin. What, where, why, or when? Well, let me explain like instructions to a game. See, I'm not insane. In fact, I'm kind of rational. When I be asking who is more dramatical, this one or that one, the white one or the black one,
oh, kick
the
punk,
I'll jump up to attack one. Yeah, that's that old BDP, my philosophy,
they don't
man.
Know what's going
yes,
on.
Sir, 1988.
Yeah, man. Well, man, I appreciate you, boss, man.
For sure, man. We'll holler next week.
Take care, my man.
All right.
All right, boss.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Only fitting that we come back to wrap it up with that because we're going to get into the defense, and Kevin Byard brings us back from the break. Pete Rock and CL Smooth, straighten it out. That's what they have to do on defense, straighten it out for sure. We talked about some of the moves. We talked about Desmond King. I think that helps them. But really, what has to happen? Well, what's the areas for improvement? I think there's two things that you have to look at that are just absolutely detrimental to this team. And it starts with these two areas. Third down conversion percentage. You heard Jeff Dickerson just off the top. I didn't even run any numbers or anything with him. He just, and this is knowing your team, he said, man, they are not good at third down conversions. They have been really bad. Well, the numbers reflect that. Second to last in the NFL. This is an opportunity for the Titans to get back on track with that. I think that's an area. It has to improve. You can't allow a team to have 62%, is it? I think so. Like 62% third down conversion rate is just, it's terrible. It cannot. It just can't be. You can't be that bad there. And there's an assortment of things that go into that. It goes back to what that horse is beyond dead from me beating it. These receivers are able to just, you know how you go in your backyard and you hold the palm of your hand and you draw a route for your guy that you want him to run, you draw it. That's exactly what's happening. These receivers are running routes literally the exact way is drawn up on film because there's zero disruption at the line of scrimmage and throughout the routes. Go back and look at the Chiefs game. I'm talking about the AFC Championship game. Watch how they, in the first quarter and a half, they really did a good job disrupting the timing at the top of the routes. And Pat Mahomes, he had to find time. And they weren't getting homes, and that's another thing that we'll get into, but the secondary, the back end was helping the front end. It's not happening right now. So that's number one. And the other thing is, even if you're going to play, off and you're going to give them that opportunity to catch the football, tackle them before the sticks or before the daggone end zone. Jonathan Joseph against the Bengals. I mean, come on. You got to do – they did an excellent job. Communication was something that people mentioned. When I say people, I'm talking about players, mentioned is something that had to get better. Well, Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Orr communicated perfectly. It was a switch release. Number one on that side ran the in-breaking route. Number two ran the out-breaking route. Joseph was on the outside. Orr was on the inside. Exchange smoothly, but Joseph didn't maintain outside leverage. And the receiver got past him, caught, and it was an easy touchdown.
It's where his physical limitations that Joseph had that he didn't have a couple of years ago.
It's not even physical. It's just a complete breakdown. You have to understand, if you have outside coverage, and I get it, you know, maybe – as someone that I talked to made an excellent point, maybe Harold Landry could have done a better job. Like maybe it was his job to get a little hit on the receiver to delay him. But regardless, you have outside. You don't let him get outside you. That's pay dirt. That's what they call it, pay dirt. You can't allow that to happen. That was on third down. And that was kind of a mesh of both worlds, because the other thing that they have to get better on is red zone defense. That was a breakdown on third down and red zone, and it was a touchdown. And you can't I know for a fact they saw that and was like, man, I don't know what else to do with this guy. I don't know what else to do. Because that's the conclusion that you have to come to when you watch that. Like, come on, man. You're a veteran. You know better than that. And they were done. They were done. They have to get there. I want to say dead last in red zone defense as far as percentage. Was it 80-something percent?
And they're giving up touchdowns. They're not just giving up field goals. They're giving up touchdowns. And that's the big separator between them and a lot of the teams around
80%. The Bengals were 4 out of 5. Rookie quarterback with 4 guys up front that hadn't played together before, including one that had a walkthrough and a daggone meeting, went out there and actually did pretty well.
One guy almost tripled his season reception total in that game alone, in Auden Tate.
Quentin Spain was, like, he wasn't even on the team at this time last week, and here was, you know, he did well. And then you mentioned Auden Tate. You talk about third downs?
Oh, along the sidelines?
That dude stepped up. He stepped up. Sometimes you got to just chalk it up like, yo, good play, man. Good play. Like, there probably isn't anything I could have done on that one. And that's what happened a few times.
It's just one of those days, too, where if that guy's making those catches along the sideline, too, not only are you having these breakdowns, but just that's not going your way. You're not getting those bounces or those things are happening. It was the perfect storm.
Hey, you know, like I said, some plays, you're just, hey, I played it well, but you did it better, that one. Mm-hmm. Hey, good job. You know what I mean? And that's what happens. But they still have to find ways to get better. We talked about the zone defense against the Steelers when Eric Ebron lined up on the right, ran from the right side to the left side freely, caught the ball right about the outside of the left hash, 22-yard gain on 3rd and 14. This week, you finally get a third down stop. You finally get one. Malcolm Butler's playing. He's playing good football. And that defense that he had against A.J. Green on that third down, they tried to double move, and he got beat, but then he dug, and he went and he broke it up, played through the hands. That's something that Nate Washington and I talked about on Nate and TD last Friday. He did it. He played through the hands. And it's actually something that Mike Vrabel said, too, when I asked him about A.J. Green on the back shoulders. This wasn't a back shoulder, but still, he played through the hands, caused the incompletion. 4th and 5, they call a timeout. Titans rush 3. They drop 8 men into coverage. 8 men. Now, one of those 8 guys was Kenny Vaccaro, one of the 4 routes was the running back. Vaccaro just stayed with him. The running back didn't really drop, you know, run a route. But you had T. Higgins running a go route on one side. Didn't really have pressure. Joe Burrow moved to his right. Higgins saw him move. And this is what I'm talking about when I say QB scramble drills and being on the same page. Higgins saw Burrow move to his right. He broke his route down and came across the field. Now, mind you, A.J. Green had a route that kind of directed him towards the sideline. Imani Hooker was leaning more towards that. Burrow set up, threw the ball. There was contact. You could call it either way. It could have been offensive or defensive. Pass interference. The ref wisely left it alone. But it was a completion for 22 yards on 4th and 5. Can't win like that. Got to channel my inner Mike Singletary. Can't do it.
Can't win with him.
You can't have that. So it's a breakdown on multiple levels, right? Jayon Brown may have been responsible, and this is the thing. Like, I don't know the coverage. I mean, it was zone coverage, but I don't know the zone responsibilities per se in that. Jayon Brown initially, because there was an outbreaking route that the corner went with. And Jayon Brown kind of stepped towards it and then dropped back. So maybe those two steps towards that outbreaking route kept him from being able to drift back into that zone right there. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, it shouldn't have been open when you got three guys running a route and you got Fripp and seven in coverage. I don't care how long it's taken to get to the quarterback. Basically, when you're rushing three, you're saying, secondary, this is for you. I need you guys to cover. And it didn't happen. So those are some things that have to get fixed. You hear how I am talking about it. And listen, I don't have a horse in the race. My checks from ESPN are coming regardless. You know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is, I'm watching this and I'm this frustrated. I could only imagine how frustrated the staff is, the players are, and you, the fans. I get it. You guys are passionate. It's definitely frustrating. But I'll say this again. It's not the end of the world. You still have a 5-2 record. So just hang in there, man. That's all I can say. Just hang in there. We'll see what happens. I think they beat the Bears this week, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And the quick passing game is something that has consistently hurt the Titans off defense. But guess what? Nick Foles, he's not really a quick passer. He can make the quick decisions, but he has a windup. It takes him a bit to get that ball. There's no snap, 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 three-step easy and go. One-step routes, and no, it's a lot harder for him to do that. So that could help. This Bears team could really be what you want. You heard Jeff Dickerson say about the offensive line and their shortcomings. I'm not going to say that's an automatic sack party. I said it last week.
Should have been last week.
I said it would be last week, and you know what? I'm done. I'm not saying that again. Mm-mm. I don't care if they got my mother out there blocking. I'm not saying that's a sack party. Sorry, not going to say it. But that being said, I think we need to roll right into, because I've called a lot out, but we need to roll right into my dog, man. Too Short. Let me get that music.
Blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. You know what? Blow the whistle is what those daggone officials should have done towards the end of that first half. Man, how do you not call that? How do you not call hitting a defenseless receiver? What do you think? Adam Humphrey's got a concussion because the dude, Jesse Bates, and it wasn't a dirty play by Jesse Bates. It was a bang bang play.
Just happens.
These things happen. But as Too Short said, blow the whistle. How do you not call that? You think he just got just randomly got a concussion because he didn't get hit in the neck or the head? Go watch the hit. He got hit in the head. But to compound it, when he spun, because the impact of that spun him, and as he hit the ground, his shoulders went first, and then his head did. Back of the head. I'll say this. I wouldn't be surprised if Humphreys doesn't play this week. I wouldn't be surprised at all, because when you have those type of hits like that where you bang the back of your head, like those are worse than any other form. And none of it is good, don't get me wrong. But when you have those type, that's the one that, from what I understand, rattles the brain more than anything else. So, look, I hope Humphreys is okay going forward. Mike Vrabel has been very cautious with players as far as injuries, period. But with concussions especially, go back to Taylor Lewan when he had his concussion and how he gradually brought him back. So I'm blowing the whistle on the refs, because they blew the whistle later when Kenny Vaccaro had a bang-bang hit, and it had nowhere near the same consequences as Adam Humphreys' that hit had. So, look, man.
That's the frustrating thing.
It's frustrating. And you know what? I'm not going to let him get away with this other one either. If you call a penalty, Hey, if you're going to call pass interference.
Oh, man. I know exactly where you're going.
Why is it going to take you forever to tell me who did it? That's not right. That's not right. And they caught it on Malcolm Butler after it was just like, okay, well, yeah.
It's one of them. It's one of the guys, yeah.
Any meeting, my, yeah, I'm going with this guy. You know what I mean? And they caught it on Butler. But here's the thing. Before the ball even got to the receiver, Jayon Brown had his hands on it. So once he gets his hands on it, it's just the same as when the ball is tipped at the line of scrimmage. Look, man, if the quarterback throws the ball and Jeffrey Simmons tips it, you could do whatever type of physical assault within reason. I obviously can't punch him or anything like
that. Swinging helmets.
But you could be very physical, we'll put it that way, with the guy that was supposed to get the ball because it was tipped. That negates any interference mm-hmm. call. Wrong on two different occasions. Look, man, it's that was a terrible, terrible officiating game. And those were two examples. I'm not going to let my blood pressure go up about it any longer. But I will say this. It will turn around this week. Titans are beating the Bears. I firmly believe they'll beat the Bears. I really do.
It's the worst offense they've played since the Jags, right? You got to believe, or the Vikings. I mean, in terms of just offenses that just can't get it going.
Both of those teams rolled up on them.
Exactly. But, I mean, at least, you know. But I'd put Nick Foles probably below Minshew and Cousins, the way he's played. So, at least the worst quarterback you've played almost all year.
Yeah, yeah.
The matchup's I guess, what better way to fix a defense than to give you a gimme?
And that's what I'm saying, where I think, you know, this team gives the Titans exactly what they want. Bears are a solid team, so that whole letdown concept is out the door. Expect a good game. And it's going to be in front of you guys right at home. Mm-hmm. So definitely take solace in that. I'm looking forward to watching the game, as I do each and every week. But it's going to be great to be back in the stadium. I love to actually be able to watch the full game and not just a TV copy. Did you catch my question to Ryan Tannehill?
Which one was it?
I asked him about... early in the game, there was an opportunity to hit a deep one to Khalif Raymond, and he saw it, but he didn't pull the trigger. And so I asked him, you know, what was behind you not, because you need those big plays, a stretch play, especially in a game like that. Mm-hmm. You saw how in the Vikings game, that deep pass just kind of
ignited the offense.
Yeah. So he said he made the pre-snap read, and he's correct. It was too deep, cover two, and in that situation, you typically expect a safety to come off his post and cover anything deep to his side. I still don't know why the safety did it, but for some reason, it was Von Bell. For some reason, there was a route underneath. You had the dig route from one side, and then you had Derrick Henry releasing kind of through the line and running an outbreaking route. The linebackers had that underneath. I don't on earth understand why he kind of looked at that and took a couple steps forward, but that opened up. It could have been a drop the bomb on him. It could have been a big play. But, yeah, look, man, you know, he made the pre-snap read, and he saw it. But I think he was actually very surprised. And actually, he said it. He said he was surprised that the safety, you know, bit on that route underneath. It happens. It happens. I don't think you could really knock Ryan Tannehill. I mean – yeah, the interception, it was a bad decision. But here's the thing. When you're feeling yourself, 77% completion percentage.
It's a heat check.
Best in the league since week 7 of last year. When your team is the best in the red zone for a score touchdown since week 7 of last year when you took over, hey, it's one interception in that period. Was it a bad decision? Absolutely. Was it detrimental to their opportunity to win the game? I actually, in my post-game post, I had it as the pivotal moment in that game. So, yeah. But, look, redemption opportunity for Ryan Tannehill and the Titans this week. The show's going to go on. They'll keep playing football, so be happy in that. On that note, appreciate each of you for tuning in. Until next week. God bless and good night.